community radio station. This month, we'll screen They Will Have to Kill Us First on Thursday, June 27th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Islamic jihadists took control of northern Mali in 2012 and enforced one of the harshest interpretations of Sharia law in history. They banned all forms of music. They Will Have to Kill Us First tells the story of how musicians are fighting against the ban, standing up for their cultural heritage and identity. The film includes footage of the first public concert in Timbuktu since the music ban. Again, that's They Will Have to Kill Us First on Thursday, June 27th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at KBOO.FM on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Coley Neighborhood Farmers Market. This is a weekly event at 5011 Northeast 42nd Avenue at Alberta Street in Portland. The market features local farmers and businesses, and this Thursday, June 27th, there will also be a seasonal cooking demonstration and music by Loose Change. Again, that's the Coley Neighborhood's Farmers Market, Thursday, June 27th from 4 to 8 p.m. at 5011 Northeast 42nd Avenue at Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Portland State University, offering a master's degree in urban and regional planning for those who want to shape cities into inclusive, vibrant, and livable communities. More information online at www.planning@portlandstate.org. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it is 6:01 p.m., and next up is The Underground.
I was never cool in school. I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be happy?
We can be happy.
Welcome to KBOO The Underground. This month's theme is cults, and first up is a piece by Mika and Kai, which is Facts About Cults. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Mika Tomizawa.
And I'm Kai Tomizawa.
And we will be talking about cults. So the term cult is, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a religion regarded as unorthodox or great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work.
Yeah, so I'm sure most of you listeners have heard about the most famous cults, such as Jonestown and the Manson family, but we are going to talk about the more unpopular cults and interesting cult facts.
So the first cult we will be covering is called Eckhinker. According to allthatsinteresting.com, Eckhinker was founded in Minnesota in 1965 by a man named Paul Twitchell, and the main idea of this cult was that one can separate their soul from their body, and those who follow Eckhinker believe in a divine spirit called Eck. And the founder, Twitchell, actually called himself Eck. So, according to Eckhinker.com, separating your soul from your body allows for the unlocking of deeper levels of spirituality.
So you have to move up the different levels.
Yeah.
Wow. Apparently they have 50,000 to 500,000 followers, according to allaboutreligion.com.
I just find it really interesting that there's a big gap between 50 and 500,000.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some people don't want to talk about it if they're involved in a secret cult.
Yeah, maybe.
According to The Guardian, that's actually the essential difference between religion and cults. Religions tell you what you're getting into, they tell you their belief system, and cults thrive on secrecy and the sacrifices you have to make to unlock new levels to reveal those secrets. All right, back to Eckhinker. What I find most interesting about this cult is that
According to All About Religion, Ekankar is a form of Hinduism with a modern face. By this, we mean that Twitchell, the founder of Ekankar, actually plagiarized entire chapters from Radhaswami texts and used them in his teachings.
And that's really crazy because what he plagiarized, those messages, were what got him so popular.
How lazy.
So next we will be talking about the psychology linked to cults. So according to Online Psychology Degree Guide, most cult members are completely unaware. They have no idea that they are a part of a cult.
Huh.
And this is despite the fact that to someone else, to an outsider, it is completely obvious. And these cult members are kind of blind to the power the cult has over them from the time that they were recruited. They don't really realize the power it takes over their life.
And I assume the more involved they get in the cult, the more blind they are to the outside world and mm-hmm. to the power that the cult has over them.
Yeah. On the topic of cult psychology, according to The Big Think, there is a prime target for cults when looking to recruit and then expand.
Oh, no.
So this target includes, and as quoted from the article from Big Think, relatively healthy people going through stressful periods. And cults want relatively healthy people so that these new members can actively and continuously work to the greater benefit of the cult.
Okay.
And they also want people going through stressful periods in their life because those who are grieving, those who are more unstable, are more susceptible to persuasion, and they crave this validation that they get once they're in a cult.
That's
or once
horrible.
They're a part of this community, in a way.
During, you know, the darkest time in your life, you might be swept up in a cult that could possibly destroy it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the last thing we're going to be talking about is a cult called Raelism.
Raelism?
Raelism. We looked up how to pronounce it, and there were multiple ways to pronounce it, so we're going to stick with Raelism.
Raelism, okay. According to Thrillist, this cult, Raelism, was founded by a French race car driver named Claude Vorilhon in 1974. Those a part of this cult, Raelism, believe that human life was created intentionally by a bunch of aliens who later sent messengers in a human form to check on things. So these are the figures from major religions such as Jesus and Buddha.
Yeah. So these leaders from different religions are aliens, according to this one cult.
That's interesting. And it ties into the really famous religions that a lot of people know. Mm-hmm. It almost reminds me of Ekankar, where they are taking scripture from Hinduism to include in their cult.
Yeah. Religions, ideas, philosophies, cults, pulling from each other. It's really interesting, and how using other people's stuff can keep feeding your popularity.
Yeah, it makes me want to plagiarize my next essay.
No!
Alright. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Don't plagiarize.
We hope you learned something new about cults today.
This has been Kai.
And Mika.
From the KBOO Youth Collective.
Good evening, KBOO. My name is Thomas. And let me tell you a little story. Under the black seas, he waits. He wakes, binding your soul to madness, swaying in the abyss, inhaling black skies. He haunts you and binds your soul, and he loathes you, and then he reclaims it all. This song is Dream No More by Metallica.
We'll be right back.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Luna.
And a couple weekends ago, we went to the Clinton Street Theater to experience the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The Clinton Street Theater has been showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show for over 40 years straight and has had a cult following ever since its inception.
And I personally had been to the show before, and I knew what to expect, but Luna here hadn't seen it.
I really hadn't. The show is a raunchy comedy meant to be a place for outcasts and misfits to have a place, or at least that's what it's become.
And when we were there, we interviewed a couple members of the program there, and we were able to get a much better understanding of what makes Rocky Horror such a cult classic.
So here's the interview.
Hey, so we're here with a couple of the people that were helping out with it tonight. What are your guys' names?
My name is Kyle Horton. I'm former cast member and former director of the Clinton Street Cabaret, but I helped participate with the audience participation part of the DIY Be It Yourself mix.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Kyle. And you?
And I'm Katie Williamson, former cast member with Eugene's Forbidden Fruit and Clinton Street's unofficial cast member.
So how long have you guys been working, like here at this theater specifically?
Well, we're all volunteer. They're all the cast itself is all volunteer. So we don't necessarily work, but we do. But the Bonnie Joe and Roger in the Clinton Street Theater have been very gracious to hosting the longest running shadow cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Clinton Street Cabaret, for as long as they've owned it. Previous owners have done it. As far as I know, it's the longest running shadow cast with like 38 years running.
Awesome, yeah. I know the theater's been performing Rocky Horror for like 40-something years.
41 years.
Yeah, my mom...
As of April of this year, it's 41
years. Oh, awesome. Yeah, my mom has always talked to me about it before I was old enough to realize half of the stuff in the show.
It's pretty common that it's either like somebody's parents or like one of your friend's parents kind of introduce you. It's just like, okay, you're weird enough, that's fine.
I just ended up here, honestly, for a base.
That's legitimately like half is like from friends or family or something like that. Half, mm-hmm. The other half is just like,
that's just how it
I was just kicking it with this dude.
yeah. That
you're hoping you're going to come back every Saturday, right?
Oh, I would love
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah. So, how have you guys, seen, what's your take on the community around Rocky Horror, specifically in Portland, but also in other places like Eugene and all across the country?
Oh, yeah, I can only really speak from experience from the Portland cast, but, other casts I've talked to and, discussed with, Frankie's Favorite Obsession in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. Los Bastardos, who's, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
It's always been one bunch of weird kids. Like for me, there was a lot of stuff I wasn't really, open about or anything like that. I was always the weird kid that got made fun of and stuff like that. I was always the freak that just kind of stuck out.
And then,
I went to a show. It's just like, oh, there's other people like me. I get it now. We're all the weird kids. We're all the ones that got picked last, and we're all in our own ways important.
You have to realize also that kind of thing, that kind of paradigm goes through every single generation, too. There's always that one weird group,
Oh, yeah. If we just kind of all congregated together.
Yeah. It's probably also really big since it's in Portland, and Portland's always trying to be weird,
I mean, there's shadow casts all over the world. We kind of all communicate with each other in a sense on Facebook and social media. Yeah. That's a really big thing where we share each other's experiences being on different casts and going to see different casts and sharing tips and tricks for everything, costume, makeup, performing, all of that. So everybody, it's a big community.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a local thing. But at the same time, it's still a local thing. I know, in Eugene, we were a college cast, so we had a lot of college students join cast, but it was open to the community. Anybody was allowed to join. That's fine. Anybody's allowed to audition. We were open to absolutely anybody that wanted to be a part of us.
Oh, yeah.
And so But on top of that, like, we would do different events to reach out to the community and try to get people to want to join us, and kind of find, like, their home within us as we did with Rocky.
Oh, yeah, and to kind of jump on what she just said, like, you know, yeah, we're all friends and stuff like that, but in a lot of ways, we're all very interconnected family.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird cross-dressing family, but...
Big family.
Yeah,
that's the best kind of family.
Yeah. We love each other.
No, but like the thing is, it's just like when I first joined Clinton Street Cabaret 6-7 years ago now, you know, there's people in cast that were kicked out of their houses for being gay or for being trans or, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like a safe place for people, then, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like,
no doubt about it.
No, I always tell people, it's just like, look, if you ever get treated weird or treated wrong even, it's just like, we're here with open arms, you know? Like,
well, that's great.
You can always come to us.
So now, I got two last questions for you guys.
Yeah.
So the first one's going to be, what would be one tip you'd give to someone that wants to get involved with the Clinton Street Theater, with the cast, or just wants to get involved with this program here at this theater?
I would say not to be shy about it. Go for it, you know? I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, that's really out there, that's really wild. And so it kind of, like, scares people off a little bit. But, like, we're really, like, just this big, like, weird group that just loves doing theater and doing what we do. And it's a little bizarre, yeah. But, like, we have a blast, and we all love each other, and we're all, like, super close, and you make great friends. And so I think... You just need to not be shy about it. Just kind of go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Exactly. I mean, like, as, like, former directors, just, like, we just want you to be yourself. We don't need you to... We're going to need you to play a part, but bottom line, it's just, like, anybody can play a part. But, like, it takes a special kind of person to be... Just be yourself around people.
Okay. Now, I have one last question for you guys. So you've seen the movie countless times, probably, right?
Oh,
so
I've been
know it
I
by
sleep
heart,
on
right?
My eyelids when I sleep.
So my question for you guys: who is your favorite character from the movie, and why?
Oh, man.
You want to go first, or should I go first? Because I have the answer right now.
You go first,
okay.
Yeah.
Mine's Columbia. She's my character. She's the one that I play most frequently. I have the full screen accurate costume. She's so spunky and sparkly and fun and wild. And that's just everything I want to be on my daily life. I'm not always, but, like, Rocky gives me that chance to be that. And so I just love, like, her passion, how crazy she is, and all the sparkles. but, yeah. Columbia is definitely hands down my favorite.
Awesome.
I was part of the cast for 6 years, but I've been coming to see this movie at the theater for about 11 years.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what? I'm going to go curveball. I'm going to say criminologist.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, because he just pops in and is like, let me tell you about some stuff right now about what's going on. Let me just fill you in just in case you're not.
Is it because, like, every like you can relate to him because every time you walk through and people just start screaming?
Yeah, I actually get that reaction a lot. You can ask her.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, thank you guys so much. It was great coming down here. I'm definitely going to be coming down again.
Oh, yeah.
And please, anyone listening should come here. Also.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
Every first, third, and fifth Saturday is a cast performance for full shadow cast, Clinton Street Cabaret. And every second and fourth is a Be It Yourself night, which means you can get up on stage and dance your little hearts out, whatever you want for however long you want. Either way, you're going to have a great time.
Awesome. Yeah, we definitely had a great time tonight. Anyways, thank you, Kyle.
Oh, no, thank you.
And thank you, is Katie?
Katie, yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
You two have a great night, and thanks for coming out.
Hey, I just want to say thank you to Kyle Horton and Katie Williamson. It was a great time interviewing them, and it was a great time at the show, don't you think, Luna?
It was a really great time at the show.
Yeah, so you'd seen the movie before, but you hadn't been to the theater, right?
Yeah, I'd seen the movie, I think, about 2-3 years ago, and didn't remember it much. Remember it was really weird, but I just, like, watched it at my friend's house while eating ramen. It was not the same at all seeing it live.
And especially with, like, the crowd interaction, you know?
Oh, my God. I'd heard of it. I'd heard of all the crazy stuff that goes down there, but, oh, my God, it was very different being there. It was the greatest time.
Yeah, so the first time I saw it, it was one of the shadow casts. So that means basically there's the actual, like, cast from the Clinton Street Theater.
actually acting out the show as the movie's going on at the same time. And when we went, it was just the Be It Yourself night.
Yeah, which is more just like, it was just audience participation. But then there was, again, Kyle and Katie, who were like, had done it a lot and had been cast members. So it was still like, was it similar at all? Like
a little bit. There was the same callbacks. There was the same, some of the acting things they did, like with the lightning strike, for example. That's something they did last time. Because both of them had been part of the cast before. Like, yeah. Kyle said he'd directed for 6 or 7 years, he said, but he's been going there for like 11 years. So they like know it in and out. But it was similar, but it was a much different kind of environment. On the cast nights, the shadow cast nights, there's like a full theater. When we went there, it was just a few rows, but
yeah, I guess I have an excuse to go back then.
Exactly. So, yeah, for everyone that's listening in, at the Clinton Street Theater, they have shows every Saturday at midnight.
Not the third Saturday of the month, right? Like, there's nothing then? I feel like it's only first, second, and fourth?
Actually, it's the first, third, and fifth Saturdays that are the Shadowcast nights. The second and fourth are the Be It Yourself nights.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyone that wants to go back, the first, third, and the occasional fifth Saturdays are a great time to go there because that's just a great environment. There's so many people there that know it. But if you want more of a low-key, calm night, then the second and fourth Saturdays are always great. It's such a fun show. It's a all ages are welcome, as long as the parents are allowed of it.
yeah.
If you're 17 and under, you're supposed to have a parent with you. But
you don't have to.
Given the environment, they don't check IDs at the door or anything. So it's definitely the kind of thing where you just go to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely the kind of place, especially when I went there the first time, it's a place for just all the weird, different people to just have a good time, you know? And actually, last time I went there, you didn't see it as much. It's the kind of thing, people go there, dress up as some of the characters. You see people walking around in fishnet tights everywhere. The Dr. Scott actor even was wearing them. He was dancing on stage in his fishnet tights before the show. It's that kind of thing. Like, it's definitely a very great environment. And every time I've been there, I just felt so welcomed. And it just felt so nice and just like a family, you know?
Yeah.
So,
while the background music cut out, I think it's probably time to wind down.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, thank you again to the Clinton Street Theater, to Kyle and Katie, and like I said, the first, third, and fifth Saturdays at midnight are the Shadowcast, and the second and fourth are the Be It Yourself nights. If you want to go, that's definitely the best time to go, though. The Be It Yourself nights are a great way to get exposed to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So that's it. That's been the interview. I've been Thomas.
I've been Luna.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Thomas and Luna. That was a piece about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And next up is the song Hotel California by the Eagles. Enjoy!
as prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't.
What a song, huh? This is Luna for The Underground with this month's theme of cults. Up next, we've got episode 4 of Serial Radio Drama Interhaven.
Good evening, friends and enemies, and welcome to the Interhaven Weekly Informer. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Universicorp. First things first, I'd like to formally congratulate the fantastic new recruits who had the privilege of being selected during our first 2 days of Bureau Recruitment Week. Your heart and near-complete compliance have not gone unnoticed, and I applaud you for making the bold and selfless choice to work with the Bureau. I wish you the best of luck and the utmost safety in all of the exciting career opportunities you will soon find yourself with an abundance of. Wear the lavender gloves with pride. You earned them. I hope that the citizens selected in the remaining 5 days of recruitment week follow your examples. And with that, I'd like to bid everyone a pleasant and agreeable summer. School let out just 2 days ago, and we're already seeing instances of lost children. Please remember that children under the age of 10 are not allowed off of private property without an adult, any individual 21 or over, or another child aged 10 to 20. Lost or wandering children will be taken into Bureau custody with no notice. This is a matter of safety. And now, a word from your community representative.
Evening, Interhaven. My name is Calwyn, and I'm your community representative. The issue at hand is one that I hold very dear. Wanderlust. Travel. The desire to get up and go and keep going. I'm only at a CSA office part-time. When I'm not on active duty as a community representative, I'm running a train along the Half Moon Circuit between Interhaven, Direfall, and Redemption. Traveling can be a safe and enriching experience if done with a proper amount of caution. However, recent reports tell me that there have been some incidents where caution was cast aside, thrown to the proverbial wind, if you will. These incidents sadden me. There is so much to see in the Unificates, and so little in the wilds. The wilds are dangerous. Perhaps it's curiosity that drives otherwise good-hearted citizens to put themselves and others in danger. I certainly had my fair share of curiosity regarding the wilds and what might lie within them. So let me tell you what you're missing out on. The wilds are, for anyone who's unclear on their parameters, the vast expanse of barren badlands surrounding the unified territories. They consist mostly of swamps and forests. Forests are not just a collection of trees. Aldergate has plenty of trees, including their famous Alder Grove. A collection of trees is one thing, but forests and groves cannot be more different. Forests are inhospitable places where the light cannot reach, awful places where the trees tangle together and conceal the sky, places that radio waves cannot permeate, where one does not know which way is up and which is down. The Bureau cannot protect you in a forest. With that being said, the Community Service Association is hard at work on updating our travel program in the hopes of encouraging citizens to visit the other Unificates and explore their world safely.
Thank you, Calwyn. And now I'd like to announce the businesses that have won the hard-earned honor of a storefront at the new and improved Liberty Square.
This is Broadcast 3, code number 7510582, the Hopeful Loyalists. I apologize for our absence during last week's episode. They weren't lying when they said signals were being traced. We set up a fake transmitter just outside Interhaven City limits to see if anyone would show up. 5 Bureau agents were dismantling the transmitter within 10 minutes. They are inhumanly fast. Why do you go along with Bureau Recruitment Week? Ask yourself, really ask yourself, why? Was it just because someone told you it was normal? This is not normal. This is not the way life should work. It was different in the before. To Interhaven citizens, don't worry about us hopefuls. We've had to switch to older equipment, and it's been hard, but we're completely secure now. We're still sweeping the outskirts on a weekly basis. Get out of the city and keep walking until you lose sight of Universe Corp Tower. We'll do our best to find you. To the Bureau, do you know how many loyalists there are in the Hopeful sect alone? Think on it. Have fun attempting to trace this signal.
Citizens, the loyalists in our area seem to have evolved. However, their threats are as empty as the wilds themselves. There are nothing but deserts and nightmarish forests beyond the Unificates for hundreds of miles. Loyalists will be hunted. Loyalists will be caught. With righteous certainty in our hearts, let us return to our previously scheduled broadcast. I'd like to announce the businesses that have won the hard-earned honor of a storefront at the new and improved Liberty Square. The shops were built right into the square and have stood, empty, in a semicircle around the east side ever since the renovations were unveiled and Liberty Square was reopened for public use. Move-in day is at the end of this week, so in preparation, let's take a moment to honor the businesses who fought tooth and nail to secure their slots. Kind-Hearted Clothing, Paper Peddler, Neighborhood Bones, Vortex Tea Shop, Gold Glass Illumination Co., Arrows Repairs, and Aquapure Custom Water. Congratulations! The storefronts are yours for the next 3 years, after which the Bureau will be open to proposals again. We are hoping to continue in this manner indefinitely, re-electing the occupants of the 7 Liberty Square shops every 3 years. And now, a word from our sponsor.
The Magistrate Theater's critically acclaimed production of Someone Has to Die returns to the stage this season with an all-new cast. Experience the sweeping tale of secrecy, betrayal, and true love like you've never seen it before. Someone Has to Die is the winner of 2 Genesis Awards, 3 Rosebuds, and the CSA's Mutual Secrecy Award, and is toured through all 5 Unificates. Now, the beloved show returns to the Magistrate, bigger, bloodier and more beautiful than ever. Aracel Desdin stars as Scarlet and Andret Warwick returns to the Magistrate stage as Florence. Audiences have called Someone Has to Die daring, stunning, and a show that will withstand the testament of time. The Informer itself ran a review on the original production, calling it a beautiful and much-needed lesson in morality. Ticket sales begin in just 72 hours, so get ready to head down to the Magistrate's front desk. You won't want to miss this stunning production. Someone Has to Die, coming soon to the Magistrate Theater. Brought to you by the Magistrate's season sponsor, Universicorp, the shining star in the darkness of the apocalypse.
Interhaven is proud to say that the Magistrate headlines our historic arts district as the oldest theater in the city. I had the privilege of attending their original production of Someone Has to Die, and I must say, that ticket was worth every credit. And now, the weather. We're looking at ever-present twilight and gray skies for the next week or so, although summer is showing its cards with a significant decrease in fog and no sign of ash or crystal in the forecast. Perfect weather for picturesque strolls around Liberty Square's community garden. As far as we know, it'll be a string of beautiful days for the whole city. Enjoy them while they last. Citizens, as summer settles its gentle blanket over Interhaven, please seek to be the very best versions of yourselves that you can be. Traverse the slow and perilous summer days with a sense of duty and honesty. Be the upstanding citizen you wish to see in the city. Stay safe, stay sane, and don't interact with anyone wearing a crow insignia.
The Interhaven Weekly Informer was created by Maeve Z in association with Ryan Opiala Young and is written and hosted by Maeve Z. Calwyn is voiced by Seven South, and the Rogue Broadcaster is voiced by Virgil Geck. The voice of Universicorp is James Rain.
Thanks, Maeve. Up next, we have Elizabeth's piece about Faith. Enjoy.
The word cult was one Faith had grown very familiar with over the years. Other words she had come to recognize included delusional, crazy, and radical religious organization. She had started hearing them much more frequently after joining the council. At first, these words, so often spoken with disdain and an accusatory tone, worried her. She wasn't crazy, nor delusional. In fact, she was happier than she'd ever been. She didn't understand why people felt the constant need to keep knocking her down. After a while, though, she began to tune the words out. Others within the council, who had been putting up with the accusations for much longer than she had, insisted that she ignore them. "Don't hate them," they had said. "They aren't bad people. They just don't understand. People can say nasty things when they don't properly understand something." Soon, it was easy to ignore others. Any word, if said enough times, becomes meaningless. Years passed. She didn't know exactly how many. She hadn't bothered to keep track, and neither had anybody else. All she knew was that she was a child when she went in, and an adult when she eventually went out on her own. Lots had changed in those years. When she was found by the council, she was alone. Sad and belittled, with no hope and nothing to live for. They had lifted her into their collective arms during a time when no one else would have even looked in her direction, all because of what she was. They were the family she'd always wished for. They told her such wonderful things about how she was strong and brave, and how those up above would be proud of her just being alive after all she'd gone through. She quickly became devoted to them. The council was her happiness, her home, her world. She wasn't about to let anyone take that away from her. Of course, it wasn't just easy sailing. You had to pull your weight. Cleaning, fieldwork, spreading the word. Attendance of council sessions was mandatory, of course. If someone failed to do what they were asked, there was punishment. Isolation, mainly. She herself had been punished only once, when she was still fairly young, after she had forgotten the time of a council session and showed up half an hour late. After the session had ended, other members wasted no time placing her into a storage shed, a small one with no windows, and then they just left without a word. No breakfast, no dinner, no bed. Just her in a cabin for the rest of the day and night. She hadn't slept, and she didn't dare cry or shout, lest her sentence be increased. The next day was the same. No food, no sleep. The day after that, they finally came back. Instead of letting her go, though, they gave her a few pieces of paper, a quill, and a small bottle of ink, and told her to write an essay, explaining and apologizing for what she'd done wrong, and saying what she'd do to make up for it. With her hands shaking from hunger and fatigue and desperation, she tried to write as quickly and legibly as she could. She managed to scrawl out a whole page of writing in her delirium, all while they watched over her carefully. She handed it to them, on the verge of tears. They looked it over, looked at each other, made a few sounds. Finally, they nodded and smiled down at her. "This is very good," they said. "We're so proud of you. We're sorry we had to do this to you. We had to teach you. Did you learn?" She nodded. "Good, good. Now go on, and don't do it again." They got out of her way, and after a cautious few seconds, she stumbled out past them into the blinding, bright sunlight. Faith was nothing if not a fast learner. She needed to be one to survive in the past, and she could see that she would be needing that skill, even now. She always got to council sessions half an hour early after that.
Up next, we have a story by Virgil. I'd like to think that I'm speaking for a lot of people my age when I say that I had a cult phase. Probably in part thanks to the fact that I didn't fully understand what a cult was, as I was pretty little when it started. And my understanding of cults at that age was something along the lines of cool secret club with cool magic rituals. But that being said, that same morbid fascination has continued to stick with me on and off throughout my life, even well after I'd passed the point of understanding what a cult is. It started off rather innocent, or as innocent as you can get when you're a 7-year-old pretending to be in a cult. I was still at the age where I probably hadn't encountered the word cult before, but despite that, I continued to exhibit some rather cult-like behaviors, such as trying to perform made-up spells and rituals that I legitimately believed would work, and did work on occasion, making potions and obsessively collecting hooded cloaks that I wore at any given opportunity. While this seems rather normal, I promise, it gets worse. Being 7 and doing creepy things is to an extent excusable. When I was 10 or 11, I met someone who claimed to be running a cult. It wasn't a real cult, obviously, but that's what it was referred to as. And 10-year-old me had gotten it through his head that being in a cult was the absolute coolest thing you could do. I was stoked! Being in a cult meant knowing something that nobody else knew. It meant cool secret rituals and code words and adventure, right? No. Wrong. Despite having glorified it in my head as this exciting new thing, it was really just a handful of prepubescent children sitting in a circle in a gym playing weird games with the occasional addition of a mega cool secret plan, which always just turned out to be eavesdropping on people in hopes of gaining some meaningless piece of information. However, as previously stated, it still gets worse. Because being 10 and acting a little bit sketchy is still rather forgivable. A couple of years ago, I made a friend. It's something that happens to me from time to time. But this friend in particular has this strange way of encouraging all of my bad ideas, and then building upon them, and bringing them into reality. I hadn't thought about cults in a couple of years when I met this friend. However, if you hadn't guessed it by now, that changed. Although it may never have been said outright, we both knew. We both knew that it was a cult ritual. A mock one, of course, but still, that's what kids these days are all about. You see, there is a movie. A movie whose name I cannot say on air for various reasons, but still, I can assure you it exists. This movie is, to put it lightly, very bad. The kind of movie that sinks into your brain and corrupts your soul. You see it in your nightmares. You see it in billboards and advertisements and strangers' faces. You see it everywhere. The hideous animation, the god-awful voice acting, the disgusting lack of plot. It lingers. This movie had to be disposed of, purged from the mortal realm. We did what we had to do. We met for lunch and then hiked up into the Rose Garden with all of our supplies, our cloak, our fake swords, and the DVD. We stood there in the middle of the stage in the Washington Park Amphitheater, taking turns wearing our dark robes, and we beat that god-awful DVD to the end of its wits. It was only what was necessary. It was the least we could do.
Thank you, Virgil. This is Thomas, and this next piece is one of Luna's recurring pieces about Chelsea.
Hello, hello, one and all listening in. This is your host, Chelsea Marlowe, coming to you live from my cozy little studio outside the city. This is my usual little advice column. Remember, you can always send in your asks, lovelies. I have knowledge on many topics that I can't wait to share with you. I do have to say, please, please stop asking me about mundane chores. Whatever advice I give you about your dishwasher, it won't go well. Alrighty. First up is... Lily. Oh, I remember you. You started the apocalypse, didn't you? Tried to end the world. Yeah, you did. And what are you asking? If it's how to end the world, I'm kind of obligated to not answer. Anyway, Lily says, Dear Chelsea, we pledge our feeble bodies and empowered hearts to you and the boundless God you serve to rage the chaos that lives in your veins, pumping out towards us in... Oh, it's just fan mail. Isn't it just lovely how such a sense of community can come from a voice speaking out to individuals with no other connection? I love fan interaction. It truly makes me feel like I make a difference in your lives. Anyway, next up we have... Abigail. Dear Chelsea, I would be flattered beyond words if you were to choose my correspondence to respond to. If you have, I have only one question. How do we properly open our souls to you? You have shown us the vastness of our universe and told us tales of the universes beyond our reach and understanding. We owe you everything, and we'll give you what you ask for. Take our souls, and with them, move us to your liking. Well, that was very nice of you, Abigail. And to answer your question, I request a new micro USB charger, if any of you are able to find my station. Gable stepped on mine, and now I'm having to borrow his phone to read these emails. If you're from a reality without micro USB, I'm sorry. And just know that I give you my advice not for my own gain, but to improve and slowly destroy all of your lives. And now we have Lily again. Wow, you are very friendly. Dear Chelsea, I must bid you, do not trust Abigail or her kin. They speak to you with promises of worship, but they know only greed and hunger. They will take the power you give and call it their own. The children of the Universal Satellite are your true followers, and we ask nothing in return. Children of the Universal Satellite. What a fun name. The station should be proud. Your little club seems fairly similar to Abigail's, I just have to point out. Not to offend you, darlings. I just don't know why you're fighting. And here we have another email from Abigail. Let's see how this shapes out, shall we? Dear Chelsea, the children of the Universal Satellite lie to you. We ask for nothing and want only to fulfill your desires. Lily and her followers do not understand you. They take your message of chaos and warp it into apocalypse. We, the Wrath of Public Radio, understand you. We will follow you until our hearts stop. You are all so kind and creative as well with your little names. And I don't know who doesn't appreciate being told that someone wants to fulfill their desires. I must be the luckiest interdimensional shell of a woman. I'm getting a little worried about your spat, though. You can at least have it on somewhere that's not live radio. Oh, email from Carl. Always a treat and the perfect subject change. He says, Dear Chelsea, there are cultists having a turf war outside my apartment. Do you know why? I may. Lily, Abigail, all of you. You really started cults for me? And you're fighting? Well, there's one thing off my bucket list. Oh, the station must be so happy. I sure am. This will be an explosion of a time. Carl, don't worry too much about the cults. If they are truly devoted to me, they'd know to not hurt you. Oh, and unrelated, Gable wants to get coffee with you again the next time we pop into your reality. I'd love if you could stop by the station. I have tips on avoiding cult warfare, if that'll bring you here. Well... We're running low on time, and I couldn't even answer many questions. That is so disappointing. But I suppose, in a way, I did something better than answer questions. I told you a story. A story about cults, which seem oddly popular right now, and a story that leaves you with even more questions. Confusion breeds chaos and all that. Your uncertainty feeds me. It's late, and Gable has his show to run. I think I'll leave you here, lovely listeners. Next time, I'll be sure to touch on more than one topic. This isn't a themed show. To the children of the Universal Satellite, to the wrath of public radio, to Carl, to everyone, good night. Stay lively, listeners, and stay alive.
Thank you for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KABU Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KABU at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate, Erin Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 221, or email youth@kboo.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomonium, which airs the second Friday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. We're always looking for music by anyone under 21, of any style. And check out our website, kboo.fm/theunderground or kboo.fm/youth. Thanks for listening.
It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KABU Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KABU board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KABU board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KABU member. To apply, go to kboo.fm and fill out an application, or stop by the station to pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is July 13, 2019. We are looking for folks who love KABU, who are committed to our community, and who want to carry forward KABU's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KABU needs you. Apply today.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Up next, Hard Knock Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
94.1.
What you see here is history. It's history. Never been done before. Never been done in this country. In this country.
KPFA.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we tackle key issues of the day. That's right, it's news, views, and hip-hop. All that and more coming up after the afternoon headlines. Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. One of the people we like to check in with from time to time is Michael Hutchinson. He's a local activist,